We're in a series on Sunday mornings looking at the book of Hebrews. And we are in a section of Hebrews, beginning at chapter 8, finishing at chapter 10, which looks at the new covenant. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. It is where God promises to be our God. A covenant is a relationship. It is promises that God makes. And God has promised to be our God. In other words, God says, you can approach me. We can have a relationship with one another. And last week we saw one of the benefits of the new covenant, and that is the fact that our consciences can be cleansed. We can be forgiven. The guilt which we feel, the shame which we feel, can be washed away, so we don't feel guilty and ashamed anymore about the things that we've done or the things that we've said. Now this week what we're going to do is we're going to look at how that is possible. How is it possible that God can forgive? How is it possible that God can cleanse consciences? How is it possible that we can live without any feeling of guilt or shame in our lives? And this week we'll see that it's possible only by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, as soon as I mention the word blood, I know that this is a topic that puts people off Christianity. You know, people find the issue of blood offensive. People say it's unnecessary to talk about blood in the Christian faith because, you know, shouldn't we be talking about loving God and loving our neighbours? Why talk about the blood? You know, isn't it outdated? Isn't it primitive? You know, isn't this what people used to believe many centuries ago, you know, offering sacrifices to God? You know, this is just a kind of primitive religion. It's a slaughterhouse religion. It's not something for the 21st century. But the Bible says, and the book of Hebrews says, that there is power in the blood. In fact, we've read that at the end of the passage. Christine read it for us in verse 22. It says, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. Or you could turn it around. With the shedding of blood, there is forgiveness of sins. There is a power in the blood. And that's what I want us to see this morning. There's three things I want us to see about the blood this morning. I want us to see the need for it, the power of it, and the benefit of it. The need of the blood, the power of the blood, and the benefit of the blood. First of all, the need of the blood. The writer of Hebrews tries to put forward an argument here in verses 16 to 22 for the need for a blood sacrifice in order to build a relationship with God. In verses 16 to 17, he says this. He says, whenever you have a will, somebody needs to die in order for that will to take effect. Now, the word will here is actually the word covenant in the original, because he's trying to build an argument and say, well, just as that is the case for a will, so it's true with the covenant, with the relationship with God. Somebody needs to die for that covenant, for that relationship to come into effect. And then he says in verses 18 to 22, he gives us an example in these verses of what happened at Mount Sinai. You might remember at Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments were given to Moses. And then in Exodus 24, it talks about Moses sprinkling the people and sprinkling the book with blood. You see, the writer's trying to say this. Back in the Old Testament, there's blood everywhere. In order to establish a relationship with God, there needs to be sacrifice. There needs to be blood. That's what he says in verse 21. Everything needs to be cleansed with blood. And verse 22, without the shedding of blood, there was no forgiveness of sins. You see, when you look at the Old Testament, and when you read through it, you see again and again sacrifices. You see again and again blood. It's everywhere in the Old Testament. It starts in Genesis chapter 3. You know, Adam and Eve were in the garden. They were thrown out of the garden. They'd made fig leaves for themselves to cover themselves up. But as we all know, fig leaves, a bit of wind covers nothing. And so what did God do? God killed a couple of animals and clothed Adam and Eve in their fleeces or whatever the animals had on to cover them up. Right in Genesis 3, we see sacrifice. We see the need for sacrifice in order for people to be covered. And right from then on, all the way through the Old Testament, we see sacrifice after sacrifice. You know, the whole tabernacle, the whole temple system was one which was all about sacrifices. You know, you couldn't actually get into the temple without passing a huge, basically barbecue, where animals were killed and sacrificed on that barbecue in order to get into the temple, in order to get into the presence of God. You see, all these sacrifices and all this blood says one thing. It says this: you cannot approach God without blood. There's no forgiveness without blood. And so the question is, why? Why all this blood? Why all these sacrifices? Well, the reason's this: there's something deeply wrong with life. There's something so deeply wrong with life that it cannot be fixed by education, by educating people better. It cannot be fixed by helping people be better people, be kinder people, be nicer people. It cannot be fixed by religion. It can't be fixed by you saying your prayers. It can't be fixed by coming to church. It can't be fixed through social change. You know, let's get rid of inequality and that will sort it out. There's something so deeply wrong with life that those things will not sort it out. You know, if we look at the world, if we pick up the newspaper or go onto the internet, we see the world's in a mess. We see there's wars around. We see there's violence. We see there's relational breakdown. You know, the world is a messy place. There's wickedness and evil everywhere. You know, the problems of life are vast, and they're not, you can't just click your fingers and fix them and sort them out by putting on this scheme or by doing this over here. And the reason the world is a mess, the reason the world is broken is because we're broken. You know, the reason the world's messed up is because we're messed up. You're messed up. I'm messed up. We're responsible for the brokenness in this world. We share in the guilt of the world. And you can't just get rid of that guilt and that wickedness. You know, I said last week, you know, sometimes we do something in our lives or we say something and we wish we hadn't done that. We wish we hadn't said that. We feel guilty for it. And the thing is, there's nothing that we can do that to get rid of that guilt. You know, I said last week, you know, we try different things. You know, sometimes we can try and make ourselves feel awful. You know, if I feel really, really bad about it, if I feel really unhappy about it, then maybe I'll get rid of that feeling of guilt. Or maybe if I do more good things in my life than bad things, then I'll get rid of that guilt. I read about a guy who had made a lot of money, and he was a businessman, and he made a lot of money, but not necessarily in the most ethical way. You know, he treated his employees badly. But then towards the end of his life, he had all this money, and he thought to himself, what am I going to do with it? Well, I'm going to be philanthropic. I'm going to give my money away. I'm going to help people. Now, it's great to do that, but that doesn't get rid of the way that you've badly treated people in the first place. Or by religion. We think, well, you know, I feel really bad about what I've done. Therefore, I'm going to come and I'm going to be religious. You know, I'm going to come and I'm going to try and sort myself out with God by coming to church or by saying my prayers. But you see, you can't get rid of the brokenness and mess in our lives by doing anything. But the message of the Bible is this. From the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, the message is this: God forgives sins. God cleanses consciences. From the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, the message of the Bible is this: God loves us and wants us to have a relationship with Him. You can be forgiven. You can come to know God. You can have a relationship with God. We can know God, we can love God, and God can know us and love us. That's the message of the Bible. And so the question is, how is that possible in a broken world? How is that possible for broken people? And it's possible because of the blood. See, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. There's no other way we can get rid of the guilt. There's no other way we can sort out the mess of this world. But with the shedding of blood, there is forgiveness. With the shedding of blood, we can be restored. You know, we sang about that earlier in one of our songs. You know, what can wash away our sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow. That makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so the question is, why? And that's my second point. The power of the blood. What is it about the blood which makes this possible? What is it about the blood which means that broken people can be mended, that sins can be forgiven, that consciences can be cleansed? What is it about the blood? Now, the term blood, which we see a number of times in this passage, refers to life poured out sacrificially. You know, so we read that about the blood of goats and calves. You know, sacrifices, self-giving, lives poured out for others. Now, when that happens, there's something powerful about it. I was reading this week about a Polish Catholic priest who was in a concentration camp in the Second World War. And the guards came to take some men away to be killed. And as the men stepped forward, the Catholic priest realized he knew one of those men. And he was a father of a young family. So the Catholic priest went and spoke to the guards and said, I know this guy. He's got a young family. Can I take his place? Can you take me? I will die for him. And so the guard went away, talked about it, came back and said, yeah, okay. And they took the Catholic priest away and they killed him instead of the other man. Now, if you had been that other guy, how would you feel? Wouldn't that sacrifice on your behalf, the Catholic priest shedding his blood for you, wouldn't that affect the way you wanted to live your life? You see, there's a power that's released through the shedding of blood. Now, the amazing thing that this passage says is this: Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has done that for you. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has come into this world to live a perfect life. He lived a perfect life. No one else has ever lived a perfect life. No one else has loved God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loved their neighbour as themselves. You know, none of us can do that. We know that. And yet he did it. But he didn't just live a perfect life. He died a perfect death on the cross, a sacrifice for us, so that we can be brought into relationship with God. You see, he freely gave himself up. His blood was poured out so that we can approach God again. See, this is why Christianity differs from every other religion. You see, all other religions say you need to do something to approach God. But Christianity says God has done something to approach you. All other religions say you need to sacrifice something in order for your relationship with God to be restored. Christianity says God has sacrificed something. He sacrificed his son to restore the relationship with you. You see, in Christianity, God offers something to you and to me, and that is his son, Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes people say, well, why all this effort? Why can't God just forgive sins? Why can't he just forgive the mess and the wickedness and the brokenness? But he can't do that. You know if you have really been wronged by somebody, how hard it is to forgive. And we're imperfect people. God cannot just forgive. He cannot just click his fingers. I say this respectfully. Forgiveness is a problem for God because God is just. And because he is just, he requires that debts are paid for. Justice is satisfied. See, God sees that the world is messed up. He sees us hurting each other. He sees that we've turned away from him. And God can't just ignore that. He's got to do something about it. And either he can hold us to account, so we pay for it, Or he can forgive us, but someone else needs to pay for it. See, and that's what Jesus Christ did on the cross. See, Jesus Christ on the cross came to pay the price. He came to clear our debts. He came as a ransom for our brokenness, our mess, and our sins. And he did this for all sins. You know, sometimes we think to ourselves, you know, we've done something in our life we're really ashamed of, and God can sort that out. And he can. But it's also for the little things we do. See, God knows all about us. And when Jesus Christ died on that cross, he died for the big things we do wrong, for the little things we do wrong. In fact, he died for things which we don't think are wrong. You know, the things which we think are good things in our lives. He died for those as well, because none of our actions are ever perfect. And he died once for all. That means that his death, his blood, covers all our sins for all time. I don't know whether you've ever asked the question, how did people in the Old Testament, before Jesus came, have their sins forgiven? How's God going to deal with that? Well, Jesus' death, his blood, works backwards as well as forwards. And so his blood covers all those things which people did before Jesus came. See, Jesus Christ's blood covers our past sins, it covers our present sins, and it covers our future sins. You know, don't think to yourself when you become a Christian, oh, Jesus has sorted out my past, but my future's down to me. No, your future's down to God. His blood, Jesus' blood, covers all our sins, past, present, and future. And it covers these things completely. You know, we don't need to top up what he's done. We shouldn't think to ourselves, okay, Jesus has died on the cross for all our sins, but you know, if I live a good life, then that will somehow add to things. No, it's Jesus only. Jesus' blood cleanses from all sin. See, this is what the passage is all about. The passage says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins, but with the shedding of blood, any sin can be forgiven. You know, you think to yourself for a moment about the worst thing that anybody could possibly do, or the worst thing that you have ever done. That can be forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. See, that is the power of the blood. And so finally, we've seen the need for the blood, the power of the blood, but finally the benefit of the blood. Well, the great benefit is in verse 15. There's two, actually, benefits. The first one is this. Therefore, he's the mediator of a new covenant. What does that mean? It means this. Jesus is now the agent by which you can approach God. He's now the means by which you can know your sins forgiven and you can have a relationship with God. You see, Jesus Christ loved us so much that he wanted to restore that relationship with God. And so he came and died for us that we might have our relationship restored. So my question to you this morning is this. Is your relationship with God sorted out? Or I'll ask it a different way. Do you know yourself clean on the inside? Completely clean from everything that you have ever done which you know you shouldn't. And from everything which you have done, which you haven't done, which you know you should. Do you know yourself clean on the inside? Do you know yourself guilt-free? Because you can know that this morning. You can know what it is to walk and live as a free person, confident that nothing that anyone can say can ever hold you to account for any of your actions, because Jesus Christ has paid for it all. You know, sometimes people come and accuse us of doing things wrong. Well, we can say, yes, I do these things wrong. I have done those things wrong. But Jesus Christ has paid for all my sins. His blood has washed me clean. I am now whiter than snow. Purer than the pure. Let me ask you, do you know that sort of cleanliness inside? Has your relationship with God been restored? Because if it hasn't, God offers this morning to cleanse you. God offers this morning to bring you back into relationship with him once and for all. There's an old hymn which Billy Graham used to sing at the end of his big meetings. He would talk about forgiveness. He would talk about people coming into relationship with him. And then he would say these words or sing these words, "Just as I am, without one plea. But that your blood was shed for me, and that you bid me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come." You see, you might say to me, okay, how can I get into that relationship with God? How can I have my sins forgiven and know them forgiven, truly forgiven this morning? Well, you just say those words. You come to God knowing that you are guilty. You come to God knowing that there's stuff in you that you are ashamed of. Maybe you're ashamed of yourself. And you come to God and say, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot. O Lamb of God, I come." See, Jesus is the agent by which our relationship with God can be restored. But it's more than that. Maybe you're here this morning and you're a Christian and you've been a Christian for a long time. Well, let me tell you what the blood of Jesus Christ also means. It means this. It means that God's love for you will never end. You see, the Bible says that Jesus Christ, yes, he died in time and space 2,000 years ago, but he was the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world. Before this world was created, God had planned to send Jesus to die as a lamb, as a sacrifice, his blood to be shed. Before you were created, God planned for that. And so right back in eternity past, God set his heart and love on you. And so because God's love for you never had a beginning, it will never have an end. And that means that there's nothing that you can ever do which can diminish his love. You know, if you go out of here and you say, "Well, you know, I've got to be really careful how I live my life." Yes, you should do. But when you do mess up, don't think God loves me less because of this. Or when you are actually doing things which you know you should, don't think to yourself, "Well, God loves me more because I've done these things." See, there's nothing you can do to make God love you more. There's nothing that you can do to make God love you less, because Jesus' blood has cleansed us completely once for all. You see, God loves us no matter what. And that means, therefore, that you will receive, as it says in verse 15, the promised eternal inheritance. Your future hope, the future of heaven with God and relationship with God forever, is in no doubt or question because of God's great love for you in Jesus Christ. See, those are the benefits of the blood of Christ. That's why we sing about them. That's why we rejoice and worship the Lord, because we are clean. We have been restored. Let me pray. Lord, we pray you'd help us to feel the power of the blood of Jesus Christ in our lives. Help us to know what it is and to remind ourselves about what it is to be completely forgiven, to be completely cleansed, because the blood of Christ can cleanse each spot, cleanse us completely. Lord, we know that is the power of the blood. Help us not to forget it, but to live in light of it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.